Thank you, Hans, and good morning, everyone. And I would like to welcome Russ and Hal and the members of our FASB team that are up so early. I think what you're seeing is an onerous obligation. In practice, they're getting up that early, especially when their preferred coffee shop is closed for renovations at the moment. So whenever you need a real cup of coffee, they couldn't get it today, unfortunately. So from the FASB team there, we do have Kristen and Tom, and there'll be another member of the FASB team arriving sometime later in the morning. We have five papers to discuss with the boards tomorrow in the joint board meeting, and we would like to touch on, and those five papers deal with four topics. We would like in this education session to talk to all four of those topics. Today, and primarily those topics are dealing with the identification of separate performance obligations in the contract, determining when a performance obligation is satisfied over time, so that's determining when a good or service transfers to a customer and revenue can be recognised. It doesn't deal with how much revenue can be recognised. When we come back to the boards in September, we'll be dealing a lot more with the measurement aspects of the model. We're also proposing to talk about the onerous test and about licenses as well. Now time is tight. We've got 3 hours today, and you know there is a lot of stuff that we could talk about in the ed session, but because we want to cover all the topics, I think we might sort of cut the discussion off so that we can cover each paper. And just as a guide, we'll start with paper 7A on separation, and we'd like to spend about 30 to 45 minutes on that. The next paper we'll cover is paper 7C on satisfaction of performance obligations over time. We plan, because that's largely just refinements, clarifications, only spend about 30 minutes on that. We wanted to devote a fair amount of the time available to dealing with the onerous test and licenses, and we might actually switch the order around such that we deal with the onerous test first and then the licenses paper, which is 7D, last. And with that, I'll hand over to Kristen, who's going to sort of introduce paper 7A on separation.
Great. Thanks, Glenn, and good morning. So the first topic we're going to talk about is identifying separate performance obligations, and this is paper A. And then there's also some complementary examples that we have in paper B. So just as a refresher, we did not ask a specific question on this matter, although in our outreach and in the comment letters, there was a number of people that raised questions about this area. And largely the questions were related to kind of clarifications and improvements. So as you can see in what the staff is recommending, it's largely a rework of what was there. I think the basic premise people agreed with and supported, but it was just a matter of making it a little bit more practical in the application for people. So there were two kind of main themes that we heard in the feedback, and that's how the paper has been written. First, it talks about distinct and that characteristics of that, and so we have that section of the paper, and then we also have a section of the paper related to pattern of transfer. And so as you recall in the ED, it's paragraphs 28 and 29 that the first part of the paper is really focused on, and then the second part of the paper is really focused on paragraph 30. So there's some background that we provide in paragraphs 4 to 6, and also Appendix B shows you the exact wording as it originally was in the ED. And then we have feedback again in each of those two broad sections. And then clarifying the criteria for distinct goods and services starts in paragraph 9, and it goes through 31. And our recommendations there are really to just clarify the underlying principle that we had that set forth in the 2011 ED and refine the intent of paragraphs 28 and 29. And we've used kind of two kind of catchphrases, if you will, is 28, and again, 28B was really the principle, and we're elevating that to make that very clear, and that is that something is capable of being distinct, and that was the intent really of 28B. And then it also has a characteristic that it's distinct within the contract, and that was really the intent of paragraph 29. And so we're using the same words to describe those two things. The only thing that we're doing is in 29, so distinct in the contract, we've added a principle that talks about whether it's highly interrelated and highly dependent upon, and then some indicators that would help people make that assessment. So that's the first section of the paper. The second section, as we talked about, is pattern of transfer. And I think people stumbled over what pattern of transfer is, and we've tried to clarify that there really could be two different types of pattern of transfer here. One is concurrently delivered, so two goods are delivered at the exact same time, and I think no one really had concerns about that. That was a relatively easy application. But it's really when things are consecutively delivered, so a service is delivered every single day in a calendar year, or homogeneous goods can be delivered immediately thereafter. And again, we're trying to clarify for consecutively delivered things that what the staff's recommendation is to move that into one of the indicators for it being capable or distinct within the contract. So there's two questions that we plan. So maybe the staff recommendations are outlined in paragraph two. And then I also would point you to, we have a flow chart that we've included after paragraph 54 that helps you walk through this assessment. And then appendix A is the staff recommendation in terms of how it might look in the standard itself. So we plan to ask two questions tomorrow morning. The first talks about that first section of the paper related to those two characteristics, so capable of being distinct and distinct within the contract. Do you agree with those improvements that the staff is recommending? And then the second question would be related to the pattern of transfer. And again, there, just to clarify the staff's recommendation, we would suggest that there's not a need for a practical expedient or an explicit decision related to concurrently delivered items, but consecutively delivered items, we can include that as an indicator of when it is distinct within the context of the contract. So with that, Hans, I'll turn it back to you for any questions or